XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at the website, stevebick.com. Tuesday, and got a busy day, actually, with a little bit of everything. Partly some follow-up. I knew yesterday, and I hinted at the idea that there'd be a response, an outpouring for Billy Reid, and two horsemen today, early in the show and at the end of the show, and two legends, Nick Zito in this hour. And Nick has got what he says is one of his favorite stories involving Billy. And to close out this morning, Wayne Lucas. And had really owed Wayne a call anyway for a couple of really nice performances from last week at Oaklawn. Lucas having a terrific winner, and Secret Oath, that Martha Washington winner, who we certainly got to ask about, and he also had that maiden breaker at the end of that card last week, Ethereal Road. So Wayne Lucas, and as you heard from Scotty Davenport, if you're listening in this last hour, who was just so animated, and he referenced the Billy Reid, Wayne Lucas gatherings at Churchill. And Wayne got back to me after the show yesterday and said absolutely would really like to contribute and pay homage to Billy. So D. Wayne later this morning to close out the show, and kind of along the Scotty Davenport line, talking about being from Central Avenue. Well, we've got another neighborhood guy that made good that's going to visit. That would be Brad Cox. And Brad's going to join us in about 10 minutes, actually, 10, 12 minutes. We'll have him for the first segment this morning. He's got a busy day. He's got a film crew. But I absolutely want to hear about his thoughts on his two fillies that, you know, over the last week in Florida, first in the Inside Information, there was Just One Time, who we kind of had a hint about, and that was from Ron Anderson. So we'll talk about the Not This Time Chestnut Filly, the four-year-old that emerged on the undercard of Pegasus as we were watching on in Vegas, and kind of just curious too about the origin story. Pennsylvania bred Warriors Reward LLC and Commonwealth New Era partnered up. And Michael Salvaggio had started this filly and had a very good run, 4 for 5, including, two state bred stake wins. So we'll get to some of those details. And then Girl with a Dream, and there's quite a bit. So, I referenced a few of the weekend stake results and haven't really fleshed out some of the things that went on. One of the things here that went on, I don't know why radio days had to be 3 to 5 in here, and Girl with a Dream, 11 to 2. I didn't think the two of them deserved to be, you know, such a, you know, such a price disparity. You know, I used both equally, and you know, radio days did not, you know, did not kind of get out with alacrity, as we say, and put her on her heels a little bit, chasing. And in the meantime, Girl with a Dream said, you know, good sprint fractions, and could not be reeled in. Certainly, Radio Days made a nice run at her, and imagine that they'll come together again down the road. So we'll talk to Brad Cox about those two. We'll get a final send-off from Brad for Knicks Go as well. We'll get some final thoughts. And then I've got a couple of winners, recent winners, and a couple of maidens to ask him about. You know, I'm not going to keep him for an extended period. But I do want to ask, and I did notice that in kind of looking at what he's got coming up, the return Monday at Fairgrounds, and it just occurs to me, boy, it just occurred to me, actually, they're going to be there for this, and they're racing on Monday. So that'll be kind of fun. And there's actually some news that involves Fairgrounds and the visit. But Australasia, that nice Louisiana-bred filly, she's making her 4-year-old debut. So there's another filly in the barn. That comes at Fairgrounds on Monday. So got another, I don't know, 3 or 4, some firsters and a couple of returnees. But Australasia comes back in the 7th race on Monday. A conditional allowance. And, you know, she 2 for 2 at Fairgrounds going back to last spring when she won the Crescent City Oaks against her own kind and then an open company allowance. This is a 6-furlong allowance. She, you know, then came to New York, won the Jersey Girl before faltering in the victory ride, and hasn't been seen since. And obviously, you know, something went amiss. And now she comes back as a 4-year-old. Sky Kingdom, Philly, Australasia, for Magnifico LLC and Hubert Guy. So we'll get an update on her. So Brad obviously flush with some nice fillies. I got some Oaklawn stuff for him, too. He's got maidens. He's got horses in the Razorback and the rescheduled Biakoa. If you hadn't looked ahead yet to the rebooted Biakoa field, nice. He's got Matera in there and Coach as well. And then he's got, I think, just Plainsman, right? Plainsman in the Razorback as we start the road to the Oaklawn Handicap. Who's he got? Rated R Superstar comes back out of the 5th season win for Villafranco. Yeah, he's got Plainsman. For John Ed Anthony in the Razorback. So Saturday's got a nice card. You got a nice mix of a couple of maiden races on either end. There's actually a maiden that caught my eye already in the start of the Pick 5 at Oaklawn Saturday. Here it is. Invariably, a Union Rags, these are olders, these are 3 and ups, mostly 4-year-olds. There is a 3-year-old or two in here, I think. Yeah, Moquette has got one for West Rock, Kingmaker, Sky Kingdom. But 4-year-old invariably makes a debut for Jerry Hollendorfer. This is a Union Rags 4-year-old that obviously delayed getting to the races, but has worked really nicely. This is the 4-year-old out of Sweet Catamine. So some good things ahead. So anyway, we'll save this, and we'll talk to Brad Cox in just a couple of minutes. As things are falling off the top of the desk. Brad Cox, Nick Zito, Wayne Lucas, Andy Serling, of course, hour three. Got a very nice pair of conversations for hour two, at the beginning of hour two, actually three conversations for hour two. Kim Weir from TRF, they had an exciting development yesterday, and I won't steal the thunder. And so Kim Weir will join us from TRF at 10 after Nick. And as promised, last week when we had those very difficult, been a series of problems, obviously, that have befallen people from around the racetrack. And the Safety Net Foundation from the Jockey Club, and I've seen the name, I've seen it on their website and this and that, but two different occasions I saw references to it. And so I reached out to Shannon Kelly, again, somebody who's, I follow on Twitter, and but I realized I had never had this conversation. I'd never had a visit. So Shannon Kelly's going to join us and tell you what the Safety Net Foundation does and, how it works. And it's certainly gratifying. I mean, we know that on racetracks, on every racetrack, there are support mechanisms, things like in New York, the BEAT and the Backstretch Employee Assistance Team, etc., and the Learning Center and so forth. And of course, there's the chaplaincy everywhere. But this this is a larger and obviously well underpinned, as it were, support mechanism for the industry. So Shannon Kelly and Kim Weir for some good works in hour two. And Randy Hill. There's no visit more fun and more infectious, other than Scotty Davenport's, than a Randy Hill visit. And I sent Randy a note on Sunday morning when I was, going through charts and catching up on figs from the weekend, particularly on the, all those three-year-old races. And I got to the maiden special, that third race at Gulfstream, early on the card. And these races sometimes get lost in the shuffle. And the Nyquist colt, Nitrous Channel, who, pretty much took over fairly early under Tyler Gaffleone and just cruised home and beat, what kind of felt like a, potentially fancy bunch, and did it in racehorse time, came back with a 94 debut buyer, which is obviously a serious fig, out of a Fleet Alex mare, Lauren My Chanel Girl. So, bred by Vin Lauer. So, Randy Hill, and of course, partnered up with the Reeves, Dean and Patty, the Boxmates, the most rollicking box at Saratoga, and Sal Spidal, the Spidal family, racing. They jumped in too on this Nyquist colt, and this is clearly a serious horse. So, looking forward to hearing from Randy. $625,000 Florida sale, 2-year-old. So, Randy Hill today. Brad Cox, Nick Zito, Kim Weir, Shannon Kelly, Randy Hill, Andy Serling, D. Wayne Lucas. Speaking of sales, they're going to be starting in 45 minutes at Newton Paddocks, and the last of the the bloodstock and early season short yearling sales. the Kentucky Winter Mixed. And this is always fun because there's a little bit of everything. There's the last roundup of broodmare prospects and in foal mares. And then there's the short yearlings. And it seeing some quotes from, I was going to reach out to Boyd, but we're not going to have time today, I don't think, but or to Anna. But Boyd, you know, he figures the mare trade is going to be what it's going to be. He was kind of hinting that he thought that the yearling roster, so when he went through the catalog, thought the yearling roster was particularly strong, and was he was intrigued to see what kind of results they get with the short yearlings. And you know, there's potential always to make some decisions and some early purchase and get out in front of potentially some of the horses that might be bargains if you get on them now, and that includes some of the stallions that are going to have 2 year olds showing up as early as April, right? Always Dreaming, his 2 year olds, Army Mules, who figure to be fast early, Motown, City of Light's 2 year olds. I'm just looking at the index of yearlings. And then how about the ones that are first croppers? I'm certainly following the Leah Fricks. We've got a Leah Frick in the belly of Carlisle Bell. Lost Treasure, who John Sakura has 100% behind. He's got a colt and a filly in this sale. Catalina Cruiser has got his first short yearlings here as well. So Omaha Beach, and there's another name I see, Matoli. Yeah, so that's one of the fun parts about a sale like this. Kentucky Mixed Sale, 10 o'clock. And of course, it was delayed, I think 10 o'clock. Yeah, 10 o'clock today. So I'll have that on in the background. And once they wrap this up tomorrow, the two-year-olds become the focus. Got quite a bit of news that I'll be feathering in as the morning goes on, and as we reach for Brad Cox, I will mention that case. Here you go. The yesterday the. There was potential. There was an misspell it again. I tell you, the phone doesn't get smarter. The phone gets dumber when it comes to the auto spell. Yesterday, there had been anticipation that potentially you were going to start to have the stewards hearing regarding Medina Spirit and the betamethasone positive. But then apparently it got postponed until potentially next Monday, although nobody really confirmed that, but I mean the fact that it didn't happen, I guess, that was all that could be deduced, that it would be potentially get going next Monday. I mean, this has got to be resolved. I mean, you got to get this done already. It's unbelievable that this is dragged on like this. Some very sad news, and I recirculated it yesterday while we were on the air, and then I didn't get a chance to mention it. I feel absolutely awful for the McLeans up at Northern Dawn in Ontario. They had acquired Spitester. Who has a very strong ties, pedigree wise, to the legendary Sam Sun families, and he cast himself in the stall somehow and fractured a hind leg. I mean, just a tragedy. And they had a big book of mares set up for him, and just hearts go out to everybody up there and everybody that has been involved in Spitzer, who's, you know, already, you know, established himself, but he felt like he would be a hit in Ontario. More news as the morning unfolds. Right now I hear Brad Cox in the background. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
No, not at all. You're suddenly you got a fresh hand of hot fillies winning stakes, and that included Girl with a Dream on Saturday in that Forward Gal, and I opined I don't understand why there was such a price disparity between her and Radio Days.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't bet on her, so can't blame me for that. But no, she ran good. It's always a touch challenging shipping over to Gulfstream, but she was able to handle it, bounce out of it in good order, and obviously add to her resume with a grade 3 win. And it was a big effort.
She's a practical joke. She's out of a Corinthian mare, and so it kind of feels like, you know, middle distance one turn for now is right in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think so. We really like this filly. She broke her maiden first time out. We liked her that day. We brought her up to Saratoga, trained her up to the spin away, and just broke down on the inside dirt in her face the whole way. Just didn't respond. So she rebounded well from that, and really obviously stepped up and kind of showed us last weekend what she showed us last summer, that, and we thought she was a good filly, so it was good to get back, get her back going. Now that's two stake wins and a graded stake win, so I don't know. I mean, so we all have opinions of what these horses want to do, but they will fool us. She's in my mind, she's probably, like you said, best suited at one turn, but if the right opportunity presented itself around two turns, we may stretch her out at some point. We'll just kind of see how things play out over the throughout the spring, winter and spring.
Sounds good. She's Jim Backey and Jerry Isbister, and it seems like a relative bargain, $115,000.
Yeah, not for sure. She's obviously first crop of Practical Joke, and definitely a bargain given what she's accomplished at this point.
She was bred by Mac Merhall, and is it DJ? I guess DJ Racing. Nice. Well, that's one of the nice fillies that are emerging, and I suppose just keep feeding her into the three-year-old filly sprint program stake opportunities.
We'll talk it over. We just kind of let the dust settle. She just shipped back to the fairgrounds, but I think things, we like I said, I mean, if the right opportunity presented itself going two turns, we may look at that, but races, I think, like the Beaumonts, the Eight Bells at Churchill, probably races that would probably more to her liking. And listen, if she was to perform well, something like that, you may take a swing up, stretch her out to a mile in the Acorn, but that's a little ways down the road, but we'll be there soon enough.
Last week, we actually were kind of in on the ground floor when it came to Just One Time, because Ron Anderson visited on Friday before the Pegasus card, and when I brought up Just One Time, he had like a laughing, knowing response, and so I said, okay, this one is a lead pipe cinch. And not only did she win, but style wise Brad, she did that very fashionably.
She seems like she's a good filly. Once again, it was our first start with her, and a little bit of the unknown running the 7/8 first time, but she didn't actually break very well. She acted up a little bit in gate. She has a history of that, and we'd schooled her, and she handled everything well in the mornings, but she did a little bit of a mental setback there in the gate, but she was able to overcome it. I think she's a good filly, and she gave us enough confidence. We picked her up Breeders' Cup weekend. She shipped to us from Penn National. So we've had her, I'd say, nearly 3 months, and thought about maybe taking her to the La Brea. That was the original plan, but with honestly how she was training, wasn't as if she was training bad. It just didn't have a real feel for her, and the flight schedule was not ideal. So we thought we would just kind of set tight on her. We had some options. We could have run at Oaklawn, but, you know, with the graded opportunity there at Gulfstream, I thought it made the most sense. Obviously, if she was to run third, it would increase her value, but she was able to step up and you know, get the job done. You know, and like I said, I mean, you know, once again, she acts like she's a good filly, and I think she can be a serious contender in that one turn filly mare range this season. You know, we have Lady Rock as well. I think she's going to have a big season. She's getting back going, so I'm excited about that division and having those two prospects. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I think those fillies both, I'm not saying they're limited to 7-8. So obviously, Lady Rock was able to win going a mile. But, you know, I think we got two good prospects for that division moving forward.
Well, and I don't want to jump to Oaklawn, but I will ask you about Fan Club, who is a four-year-old and who now has put together a maiden-breaking win and an allowance win. And this is an interesting horse, a Street Sense out of a Put It Back mare for Gary and Mary West. What do you think? How much more upside? It took a while for her to break her maiden, or for him to break his maiden.
Yeah, no, that's right. It did take a little while. You know, he's a horse that's definitely improving. Improved with us around two turns. I think it was third here at Fairgrounds. We wheeled him back quick. But his two runs there at Oakland have been really good. He's a horse that, you know, with this pedigree and, you know, just as physical as a horse that you'd think would get better with age. And he has. He's improved over the last couple months. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll logical step. Next would be the two others, and that's where we'll land. And, you know, probably give him plenty of time to recover from that one and move forward.
So no Essex?
No Essex. Right now, we're not quite ready for that. We got a couple other prospects looking to do the Essex.
Well, we'll talk in a second about the Razorback, too. But let's get the big send-off, put the big bow on Nick's go, and of course, you have to go to California, right, for Thursday night?
Yeah, I'm gonna fly out tomorrow. Leave New Orleans, have a direct flight to LA, so that's good. But yeah, no, excited about that. You know, excited about the night for him, and you know, good often as well with hopeful. Essential Quality can pick up a championship, and obviously I think they got a big shot to be leading owner breeder, and it's hopefully going to be a big night for that team and Next Go team, and it's you know, set up Thursday hopefully for a good evening.
Did they put your table right up on the dais?
Well, I'm not sure where they have us, but wherever they put us, we'll be there. Even if they hang us in the raft, we'll be fine.
Some final thoughts. I mean, I know we could probably do this on the back end, but you know, your view of how things unfolded once the gates opened last Saturday.
You know, it was an ideal the setup. You know, it's probably you know, he probably needs to be a little bit more forwardly placed. And listen, at the end of the day, I thought Nick's Go ran his race. I thought he ran a really good race. He didn't really get in the position he's used to being in. But you know, we can't take away anything from the winner. The winner was outstanding. He's a very, very good colt. It's obviously going to be a huge presence throughout the world in 2022. And, you know, congratulations to that team. They deserve the win. They had the best horse. And, you know, look, Nick's Go owed us nothing. I'm glad we took the chance, the opportunity. I think it was great for racing. That's what I think it was. Obviously, it wasn't the outcome we were hoping for. But if it helped racing and it got some people involved and more people to watch, I'm all for it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I'll take away from that weekend.
I can tell you, you know, specifically, in fact, Andy's going to be with us later, and we talked about it last week. I mean, Andy never thought that this matchup would even ever come to pass. So people, you know, instead of being judgmental about how the thing turned out, we should just be appreciative. It created a ton of excitement, Brad, and, you know, even though we didn't really get the shoulder-to-shoulder confrontation, it's nice when horses like this, there's a build-up that people get excited, and, you know, as you say, he's going to be crowned Horse of the Year on Thursday night, and you know, it had a spectacular time with you, and you really crafted him into a, you know, a real special animal.
Yeah, no, like you said, it was great, great for racing and on national TV, and it's, you know, once again, you know, just something that can, you know, grow the game and get people interested in it, and it's a great matchup.
Well, a couple of quick things. We got about 2 minutes to kind of do a little bit of a lightning round with you. You've got some interesting potential maidens, and I actually am going to throw a horse at you that isn't going to start till next Monday, but I don't want to miss the return of Austral Asia. And you know that I was interested in this filly from the moment she broke her maiden as a two-year-old, and she went, you know, obviously something went wrong coming out of the victory ride. How's she doing?
She's doing great. She worked out of the gate yesterday at the fairgrounds. I actually just checked her here a few moments ago while I was on the phone with her. She looked great this morning. So, you know, look, I think this is a great spot to bring her back. It's obviously open company, but, you know, she's, you know, proved herself against open company. So, you know, this is hopefully a step toward trying to get her into some graded stakes at some point this season. And, you know, obviously being stake winner, you know, we need to try to make her a graded stake winner at some point. So this is just, you know, obviously a race to get her started. It's a competitive group of horses, and I'm excited about getting her back going on Monday.
Nice. Before that, at Fairgrounds, want to ask Saturday, you've got a turf filly that's going to have to debut two turns. This is a Warfront out of Alonro, Australian bred mare for Stone Street. And Lolloping, which is kind of a funny name to give that's not a very promising name that they gave her. Is she a bit of a giraffe? Is she a little a little awkward?
No, she's not. She's actually a real pretty filly that, you know, probably seems to be with her pedigree and, you know, just probably and how she trains on the dirt a little better suited for the turf. We've obviously never been able to train her on the turf, but they came when Ian Brennan sent her and said, you know, probably suited for the grass, and, you know, we kind of see that as well. So we'll get her started. You know, she seems to be fit enough to where she could be effective first time out. I do expect her to run well. I'm not saying she's going to win, but I do think she's got enough miles under her belt to make a good account of herself first time out.
Excellent. Gee, that dam was a nice, that was a decorated Australian stake winner, that bounding.
Mm-hmm.
That she's out of. Another one, another maiden, actually, Lord Zed's on the AE. We won't worry about him for now, the Lord Nelson. Let me ask you about some of the Oaklawn runners, including McLean's Music coming back for Steve Landers. Sweet Beauty, this is on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, it'll be our second start around two turns, so we're hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, she can take another move forward, and she'll need to take a step forward, and if she can, I think she'll be a contender, so looking forward to getting her back going.
The stakes action, some thoughts quickly about the Razorback and the Bayakoa?
I really like Plainsman. He's doing great. He likes Oaklawn. He's come off a little bit of a freshening. Joel's rode him, you know, throughout his career, and he's done well on him. He's you know, ran a really good race in the Cigar Mile last out. So looking forward to getting him back going and starting his 2022 campaign. Bayakoa, good spot. Drew the one hole with Matera, I should say. And she's, you know, trained well. Missed a little bit of time when she got down to Oaklawn, but she's been back on the work tab. So, you know, she's ready to go. And Coach obviously loves Oaklawn, and Ricardo's on her. He fits her well. He started the meet 2-for-2 with her, and hopefully we can continue things on Saturday. So, well, you know, we've got a lot of nice action and prospects there on Saturday, and looking forward to getting racing back going after missing this past weekend.
Well, for those that haven't noticed, you and I talked about Turfway and having you know, having horses at the training center to send there, and you've been very selective and very successful going into this week. 5-for-12, Brad, and looking ahead to Thursday, Icarus for Bob LaPenta and Hornbeam for Judmont in that fifth race.
Yeah, both colts, you know, need two turns. They're getting it. Obviously, we started Hornbeam, I think, a mile first time, and then you ran a big race last time. I thought Icarus may have just, Icarus may have just maybe needed the race a little bit more than we thought. He's kind of a heavy heavier horse that's, you know, an Arrogate that's taking a little time to get there. But I look for him to improve, and hopefully we get to run. We've missed some training there. It sounds like we got some warmer temperatures over the next few days. Hopefully it'll give us an opportunity to run on Thursday.
Well, and then looking ahead to Friday, got to ask about the Kleins, and they've got a quality road filly, now a four-year-old, debuting a four-year-old season, Spare Cash, out of Cash Control.
Yeah, her first run off her layoff there at Turfway in December was a really, really good race. Really fought hard. I think she was third there, just beaten a narrow way, and should have gotten a lot out of that race. So I'm optimistic that, you know, she'll move forward, and if she does, she should be a serious contender in that spot.
Well, one of my favorite memories of Churchill coming in for a Derby week, and happened to be at the track when the dam's little or older brother at the time, Cash Control wasn't anywhere near ready for wasn't foaled until 2011, but Due Date, that was the first big one out of that mare, that Hidden Assets. Yeah, and did a story for Bloodhorse with Richard, and impressed that this family has been unbelievable. Cash Control, Cash Back, Country Day, who of course is a very productive stallion that gets no attention, the Spitestown, and Due Date himself, been an amazingly productive family. The Kleins, Brad, obviously tons to talk about, and I will see you at Fairgrounds next week. I'll be in All Risen Star Week.
Sounds good, Steve. We'll see you down here.
I appreciate it. Brad Cox, everybody. And there you go. Hat full of successes and some maidens to look forward to in the next couple of days through Monday. Like, it's amazing. I was talking and realized I'll be there at Fairgrounds. And then we'll be at Oaklawn the following week. In fact, we'll be at Oaklawn for almost 2 weeks between the HPPA convention and Rebel Week, and so we'll get to spend time with any number of friends. Nick Zito included. Nick,
hey, how are you, Steve?
How you doing?
Love to hear your voice. You got that beautiful voice. So happy all the time.
Almost all the time. Yeah. It's amazing. I knew yesterday when I said, in fact, to that Judy Claves from the Northern Kentucky Tribune, I said, if I opened the phone lines and if we had an open forum, you could spend all week talking about Billy Reid. And sure enough, you and D. Wayne is going to be on later. You guys both wanted to pay tribute to him.
Yes, absolutely. So when I first met Billy, I've known a lot about him, you know, a little bit about him because he had a Sports Illustrated, and he was, you know, everybody would just say the name, Billy Reid. So the first Derby I was there was 1990 with 36 Red, and I got friendly with Billy. Then the next year was 91 with Strikey, with Strike the Gold, and we were fortunate enough to win it. And he had introduced me to the great Jim Bolas. And the three of us, we kind of hit it off. And I was always with them and great conversations. And, just a terrific guy and very knowledgeable and, you know, an upfront guy. You know, just like I said yesterday, he was just straightforward, but really, really nice. And Jim Bolas was his buddy. And it was just a wonderful time for me. So, you know, as the years went on, in 94, he kept asking me where I was eating. I'm sorry, yeah, that's right. And I had to go for dinner. And he introduced me to Pat's Steakhouse. So it was a great Derby win. And George Brett I was hanging out with, and my friend Chuck Shoup from the Louisville Slugger. But as the years went on, I just became friendlier and friendlier. And I won some, you know, great, wonderful races. I was blessed, as you know, Steve. And I won the Bluegrass in 98 for Coach Patino. And Gary rode a great race, Gary Stevens. And as the time was going on, he would introduce me to more people like the Barry, Mike Barry, they're legends in Louisville. Like, you know, Scotty was talking about it yesterday, the people in Louisville. So I'm at my barn at Hialeah, and I'm reading an article with our friend, our buddy Jay Privin, who was, you know, he's the best. And it's the yin and yang about Nick Zito and all these crazy things I say, you know, right or wrong or this and that. And then the phone rings, and I see Billy Reid. Unusual, you know, when the time, whatever. And Billy is sitting there. He said, Nick, I'm here with Tom Jurek. He's the athletic director of you know, Louisville Cardinals. So he said, look, you know, I want you to talk to Coach Pitino. We really want him to come to Louisville. So I said, okay. I said, boy, that's going to be hard because the Lexington connection and this and that. He said, yeah, but, you know, he got the racing here, and he loves horses, and you love to have them, this and that, whatever. Tom Jurek is sitting right with Billy Reid. So I called Coach, and that's the other boy. And he was sought after at that time and left the Celtics, whatever. And he said, well, it's hard. I said, well, look at Coach Parcells. You know, he said, the Louisville coach, it's hard to be Lexington coach, hard to be, you know, back and forth. And it's, you know, it's a rivalry. And basically, we had a discussion back and forth about, you know, Coach Parcells being with the Giants and being with the Jets. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is Billy Reid initiated that phone call. So he was the first one. After Billy, yes, they all went and got, you know, Rick, and then Rick had a great run, obviously, with Louisville. But I got that phone call. Billy Reid was the first one. He called me, and I called Rick.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you want to know something funny? I was thinking about this, too. I almost didn't make the phone call, and I'll tell you why. So I'm at Hialeah, and, you know, Hank and I are good friends, Hank Goldberg. I always listen to his show. And I don't know why. They had a fellow, I don't know if you remember, Neil Rogers. Do you remember him? He was kind of controversial. He was a talk show host, Neil Rogers.
Down there?
Called Uncle Neil. So they had, like the Jimmy and Danny show. And he would always say, ah, come on, they hate each other like poison. So I almost didn't take the phone call because I said, gee, how could the, you know, Lexington coach, with all their tradition, go to Louisville, you know, which is still, I mean, yes, Kentucky basketball is Kentucky basketball, but you know how that is. That's a rivalry, right or wrong.
Sure.
So, anyway, Billy Reid was the first call, and he initiated that move. And it turned out Rick put them a championship, and Rick obviously is a Hall of Fame coach, and rightfully so. So, Billy Reid.
That's tremendous. He's one of those people that there'll be other stories like this that'll end up coming out, you know, that nobody's even aware of. I mean, if I haven't seen that included in any, you know,
no,
in any recaps.
I stay by myself.
Yeah.
I stay by myself, but that's a true story. And you know, and then of course, naturally, when Rick, you know, they all wanted him, but Billy, he was the first one.
That's great.
He was sitting with, guess who? Tom Jurek. Last time I looked, he was the athletic director. So he was the first one. So when you had your show on, it was a fabulous show yesterday, and, you know, it was amazing. And I just figured, you know what? A couple of minutes, and
it's
a great show.
I'm delighted you did. And Wayne wanted to come on too. Obviously had a.
Hey, by the way, you almost made a mistake. You know what?
Which?
He got the real goods in that Philly. I watched the Million Horses Feast. I'm 17 years old every day. How many years is that? I can't even count. I can tell you, that is the real Philly.
The Arrogate.
Talk to him about that, Billy.
Oh, we're gonna. Well, absolutely will. And in fact, he trained, I'm just, you know, the, I hadn't even noticed until now. He trained that dam too, Absinthe Minded.
Well, there's, I guess the right way to say it is there'll only be only one Wayne Lucas. That's about it. I mean, you know, it's like everything else in life. But without question, if you really, 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 you know, when I talk about Mount Rushmore as a coaches, he's certainly the Mount Rushmore horse trainers, there's no question. He covers, you know, one thing about Wayne, he covers everything else. He covers everything else.
This is, he's got to be thrilled. I mean, she absolutely demolished that field. And
well,
I mean,
I'll tell you what it was in that. I was more impressed with her race before. So you look up that race before, look at the tape, and man, that's a, she's a real filly. She's amazing. You'll see what I mean. So hopefully, with the Lord willing, she stays sound, whatever, and, you know, I was, Wayne had, he'll tell you about it, and I told his wife, you know, I've been always following her. At one time, I don't have to tell you, and you've given me such great praise over the years, and thank you so much for it, but at one time, you know, it was Bob, Wayne, and myself, you know, Triple Crown races. So
sure.
He has a wonderful wife, Wayne does. He had a little bit of a health problem. He's fine now. So I told Laurie, I ran into a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, Laurie, one thing I know Wayne knows better than all of us. Jack Klugman had that great line, you never saw a guy die with a yearling crop. And Wayne's got some nice horses now, so he's going to be around a while, thank God.
You know, I'm going to see you, obviously, in a couple of weeks after I spend the week at Fairgrounds, but... what's going on with you? You've only had a handful of starters so far, and I see there's a few working toward returns.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just looking. You know, I'm waiting for Citation to come in the barn. But like Toby Keith says, my good friend, he says, I don't know, Nick, there's something about you. I think you're going to get lucky. He said, you're the Yankee Cowboy. So I don't know. Maybe he's right, and I'll get lucky pretty soon. I'm waiting for Citation to get in the barn. There's a couple of horses, Steve. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's just the way it is, you know, like everything else. If you don't have the players, there's nothing you can do. But it's a different game. And say one thing, your guest before, Brad Cox, boy, what a manager and what a horse trainer he is, huh? Jeez, tremendous.
Right off the streets, blocks away from Churchill. And an amazing, does an amazing
the
job.
The fella in Wagner's wing, he took me past Brad's house. He said, let me show you where Brad grew up. I said, okay. I mean, what's the difference? It's trivia now. I guess I actually told Brad that too. I ran into Brad. It was funny. And you want to have some funny story about him too?
Sure.
He is, because I go, you know, obviously the Midwest, I don't know, they kind of adopted me and get some kids, you know. So it's Churchill Downs. It's cold November, the end of November. And I'm walking into the men's room and, you know, early morning, and Brad comes out. So, hey, Brad. I said, Brad, do me a favor. I said, because, you know, they got that triple crack nonsense, you know, the future bench for some idiot. Right? I said, who do you like of your three-year-olds? I know you got a bunch of them. And he told me Mandolin. So I actually used them in the future. He just got me. He was a gigantic price, too.
Well, I don't think they're going to pay off on that ticket, but you might have wanted to save that.
I still got it.
Too funny. What, Nick? What's going on with Vigano? When's Vigano come back?
2 weeks. So he ran a sneaky good race. I was talking about that. You know, one thing about you, Steve, you do your homework, which is great. And and actually, I'm really fond of that Kelsey Haar.
Yeah.
You know, I've had so many, you know, because you've been doing this a long time now. I've had so many girls that worked horses for me or worked for me, and I had the best with Max and Maxine Crudy and Jamie Sanders and Patty, who worked for Todd later, and Terry. I had all the great Stacy Pryor, which was Stacy Maker. I had all the good girls. And this girl reminds me of all of them in one. Now, she's a jockey, but I've never, ever seen a girl work horses like this or a runner. She's tremendous. So she's been helping me out a little bit, so maybe I'll start getting a little lucky. you know, it's two horses here and there.
No, no, she can ride. She she's all right. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's okay. Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'll run into you. And as you know, this is the middle of nowhere. I mean, I don't think we're going to get any Louis or any roastery. I don't know, whoever I'll leave now, you know. I don't think you're going to get any of the, you know, any of the Salton Shars of the world, but we'll find out what's coming.
You got our man. You got Anthony Vignotti.
He's the best. But you know what? You got to admit, you got to be ready when you go in there because it's a show. It's just not
it's a
easy.
Show.
You know what
it
I mean?
Is.
Put on the show.
It's a show.
I love Anthony. That's about it.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, Steve. And listen, do me a favor. Because it's going to happen. You're going to get your Eclipse Award. Sure. Now, I'll tell you what. I know you laugh about it. I'll tell you what. You know, like the actors over the years, they go through where this guy, you know, I don't know. They just don't give him the Academy Awards, whatever it is. I mean, you're not that controversial. I mean, you just model all that. But you get it. They'll break down and give it to you, I promise you. Conversations like this, you'll get it, I promise you.
It's not what we're doing this for, but
I understand, but you'll get it, I promise you.
I appreciate it, Nick. It's so great. Nick Zito, everybody, Zito Racing, and looking forward to seeing Nick when we get down to Oakland, without a doubt. And that's a great, great story. Billy Reid, more than partly responsible, obviously, for getting Patino to consider the Ville, and ends up working out okay for at least a certain period of time. And absolute. Listen, championships are championships, and they had a good run, no doubt.
Yes, they did. Hey, Steve.
Nicky, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
See you soon. Nick Zito, everybody, and later in the show, at the end of the morning, D-Wayne as well. And he's got stories that go back even further with Billy Reid. And and that function that Scotty talked about, that Billy and Wayne created, 600 people at Churchill. Unbelievable. Looking forward to that. All right, we got a couple of minutes to the top of the hour, and when we come out of that, we'll be joined by Kim Weir from TRF. So before we do that, let me slip in a few more of these pieces of news that accrued. It doesn't take long. Yesterday, the... I'll slip this in. I see that Belmont tickets will be offered starting Thursday, 10 o'clock on Ticketmaster. And because of what has transpired, I saw Pat McKenna also tweet a couple things about this. The capacity is going to be 50,000. Pretty much because of the backyard, you know, the new arena has, you know, taken a sizable footprint from that parking lot, that corner from the rail, you know, the rail yard, the siding, all the way, you know, past one of the, that what used to be a gate, it was that gate that ran parallel to the end of the far end of the grandstand. That was that gate five? But because of what's been taken, you know, the chunk that was taken out of that side of the backyard, 50,000 for the next couple of years, it seems, for Belmont. And meanwhile, they'll continue the work that will ultimately provide for infield admission at Belmont. So whatever has been lost to the UBS Arena, will be gained on the other side for long-term use. So, and you know, the usual variety of ticketing options available. So Thursday, 10 o'clock. Make a note. We'll save that piece, obviously. Oh, I mentioned a tie-in to the trip to fairgrounds, and over the weekend, the word came from Eric Hallstrom that John Dooley, you know, with Bill Downs having left Indiana, John Dooley tabbed to be the race caller at the new Horseshoe, Indiana. And then yesterday, Bill Downs took the opportunity to spend the summers at Emerald. So, you know, he really has moved to Pittsburgh pretty much full-time. But an opportunity to, you know, summer in Seattle, as he said. So congrats to Bill, who grabs that opportunity. And John Dooley we will talk to, and that was my inference that I told John the other day. We exchanged notes, and I said, I'm going to be in town, and I would love to do a sit-down, because he's been on, I don't know, maybe three times over the years. And I've got tremendous affection for John Dooley as a race caller. He happened to call the first win that we had as a stable, kicking and screaming, which came on a Preakness day, actually. And I was sitting right here. I was sitting at my desk. I didn't even watch it on. I was just watching it on the monitor because I really didn't expect her to win. and I remember screaming to Tina when she started a rally. I yelled to Tina, who was like down the hall from here, and I said, "Oh my God! I said, kicking and screaming is going to win this race." And somebody put it. I think our friend. I think Dave Norton actually. I think Dave Norton, Pace and Dave. Now Palm Beach Downs Dave, who of course does the clocking for the DRF clocking report. I think Dave put that on YouTube, so we get to watch it every so often. I'll probably have to play it for John. I think I've told him this. I must have told him this in one of his visits that he called her win. I would have liked to have had him call the win when we all went to Chicago for Someone Loves You, who we acquired at the Kentucky Winter Mix Sale. There's the tie-in to what's going on today. So, John Dooley, your new voice at Horseshoe, Indiana, and Eric basically is acquired, you know, all the best personnel from Arlington that he can get his hands on. So, and reassembled it. So, well done, and happy for Bill Downs to get the summer gig. Triple Crown nominations out yesterday. If you saw, I'm sure we'll talk about it with Jay Privman. Jay wrote the story up, number down 4%, 4+. And, you know, the usual assortment. Todd Pletcher, 42 horses, 42 nominated. Brad Cox, 26. Chad, 23. Steve Asmussen, 20. Baffert, 18. Wow, on the ownership side, I hadn't really noticed this. Anthony Manganiello's Sienna is tied into partnerships, 24 nominees, 12 of which are with the SF, Starlight, Matticat, and Associates, the conglomerate. And from the stallion side, Gunrunner, 16 sons of Gunrunner, 14 by Into Mischief, 12 Quality Road, 11 Tappets. And Kentucky breds, 80% Kentucky breds, but there's Japanese, and of course there's the Japanese road to the Triple Crown. 14 New York breds, 13 Florida breds, 4 Pennsylvania breds, 3 California, 3 Canadian, 3 Irish breds, 2 Louisiana breds, 2 Maryland breds, and 1 Illinois bred. To go find him. And I think, what did I see about fillies? I think I saw 6 fillies. I think 6. Yeah, Echo Zulu was nominated. Yeah, 6 fillies nominated. Made Triple Crown eligible. So this was the early nomination deadline, which came last week. There it is. All right, I got more we'll get to as the morning continues. Let's take the break here. Top of the hour upon us, an hour in the books. We'll come back. Got back-to-back visits that are you know, kind of industry, you know, the unseen support mechanisms of the game. Kim Weir, TRF, and Shannon Kelly from the Safety Net Foundation, part of the Jockey Club. And then Randy Hill. Randy is an underpinning of the support mechanism for for horse sales and fine restaurants and drinking establishments coast to coast. Fun hour ahead. And then in hour 3, Andy Serling and Wayne Lucas. Stay with us.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 38463.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Sirius XM Sports presents